today. Daf Mem Zayin. Hotziu lo es hakaf ve es hamachto. If they went ahead and they brought out the coin, the kaf also refers to what we'll call it the ladle, but we'll see it's actually the utensil that would hold the kitores and the machto. The machto was the shovel, the fire pan that would hold the coals. Chafan melo chafna benasim lo sol hakaf. He would take literally a handful of kitores and place it inside of the ladle. Hagodol lefi godlo, and we'll see again where the kitores was in just a little bit. Hagodol lefi godlo. So what's interesting about this is once you're dealing with a handful as a shear, that obviously makes it a subjective shear. So the bigger the hands of the coin, the bigger the shear. Vakatan lefi kat no, and the smaller coin would have a smaller shear. Vekach haisa midasa. And this would be the midah, and this was the midah. So meaning, what the Mishnah is saying is there was no objective midah of melo chafnav, of a handful. Whatever the koi's handful was, that was the handful. Notel es hamachta biyamino, v'esakaf bismolo. And the koi would then go ahead and take the machta, he would go ahead and take the shovel in his left, excuse me, the ladle in his, I'm sorry, the shovel in his right hand, and a kaf, the ladle in his left. Says the Gemara, machta, tonele. But we already learned about the machta. Notel es hamachta va'ala l'rosh hamizbeach. Don't worry about it. Notel es hamachta va'ala l'rosh hamizbeach. We already learned in the previous Mishnah that he would take the shovel and he would go up to the top of the mizbeach, the choter v'yorei, and he would go ahead and move aside the pyre. Remember, take the burning coals from the middle of the pyre. So what the Gemara is asking over here is, the Mishnah makes it sound like that what? That they're bringing him the shovel for the first time. But it's pashit not true. We already spoke about the shovel earlier on, which the Gemara says, no, here's the difference. So the Gemara says, Hosam machto digicholim vahocha machto dikitores. Oh, in the previous Mishnah, we were speaking about the machto of the gicholim. We're speaking about the fire pan of the, excuse me, the shovel of the coals. Here we are talking about the shovel of the Ketores. So also what the Mishnah said, with Gemara saying over here, is that when the Mishnah says that they brought him out the shovel, what they would do is, we'll see in just a little bit, actually let's read it. Tisanya hotziolo kaf rekon milishkas hakelim, umachta gedusha shel Ketores milishkas beis avatinas. So therefore the Gemara says that in reality what's happening over here, when the Mishnah says that they would bring him out the machta, it's not referring to the machta, to the shovel that would hold the coals, but rather it was talking about the fact that they would bring him a heaping pile of kitores. So again, so just because we just started this feed now quickly from the beginning, hotzilo asakaf, very quick hazara, hotzilo asakaf es hamachta, top of memzayin. They brought him out the ladle and the shovel. Chafar malo chafna v'nosel so hakaf. So now we understand the Mishnah. What the Mishnah is saying over here, he would go ahead and he would take a handful of kitores from the shovel that contained the heaping pile of kitores. Hagadol lefi gadol, v'akat lefi kat. No, each coin according to his measurement. V'kach chaysa midasa, notel es hamachta biyamino v'esakaf bismolo. And he would go ahead and he would take the shovel in his right hand, the ladle in his left. The Gemara says, machta tanali, we already learned about the machta. Notel es hamachta v'al rosh hamizbeach v'choter v'yorei hasa machta digicholim v'hacha machta diktores. I already learned about the shovel in a previous Mishnah. Two shovels. The last shovel was talking about the shovel that they would use to remove coals from the top of the Mizbeach. This Mishnah is talking about the shovel that they would use to go ahead and bring the Ketores. Where do they bring the Ketores? The Sanyo, Hotzilo Kafreka Milishkas Akilim, Umachta Gidusha Shaktores, Milishkas Beis Avatinas. They would bring him an empty shovel from the Lishkas Akilim, the chamber of utensils, and they would fill it up, filled with Ketores, from the Lishka, from the chain, from the Avatinas. Remember, we spoke about the Avatinas family earlier. They were the ones who produced the Ketores. Okay, says the Gemara. Chafan melo chafnav, v'no saint leso chakaf, hagodol afi godlo, v'akatol afi katlo, v'kachay samidasa. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. So the coin would then also, so you can imagine this scene. So the coin has a shovel filled with Ketores, and he would take a handful, and what's interesting over here is the Mishnah says, it's a subjective shear, depending on the size of the hand of the coin, would determine the shear of Ketores. So the Gemara says, Kaf b'yomiki purim lamali. So the Gemara says, here's what's very interesting about saying. So what the Mishnah says is, remember, they bring the shovel from the Lishkas HaKelim, fill it with Ketores from the Avatinas chamber. The coin would then go ahead and take a handful of Ketores and essentially put it then into the ladle. So what the Gemara points out over here is, the Torah never makes any mention of a ladle. The Torah never makes any mention of a ladle. All the Torah speaks about is the coin with a handful of Ketores. So the Gemara says, why do you have to go ahead and have a ladle? So the Gemara, Lamali, The Torah says that the kohen will go ahead and bring a meloch chafnav. He will bring a handful into the kodesh hakadoshim. Am Rachmana, the Torah said, to which the Gemara answers, mishum dolo efshar. No, you have to use a ladle. Why? Because there is no other alternative. Dehechi na'ad. So how would you play this out? What else should we do? Na'ayo v'hadina. And I will say, here's the issue. What the Gemara is suggesting over here now is, why do you have to go ahead and empty the contents? Why does the Kohen have to empty the contents of his hand into the ladle? Why don't you just bring the handful of Kithorah straight into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Gemara says, so it's logistically impossible. Why? Because remember, when the Kohen goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he must bring two things. He must bring the Kithorah, and he also must bring the shovel with the coals. So the Gemara says, how are you going to bring both? So possibility number one is what? Just make two trips. Make two trips. Go in the first time. It doesn't matter which item you're bringing first. Go in the first time with one of the items. Come back out and bring in the second item. The Gemara says, that can't be. Why? Because the Torah speaks about one entry into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and not two. Nishkali liktoris bechofna. V'nachte lemachto avlo. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe second possibility is you have the Ketoris in your hand and place the shovel essentially across your arms. Right? Place it across, so you're holding the Ketoris like this and the shovel will be across your arms like that. And what will happen? Allah v'leo kimati hasam hechilav. It's okay. That works fine for getting into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then what happens once you get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Nishkale b'shinei v'nachtei l'machto. So we'll say, okay, so maybe what you could say is, and this would take a lot of dexterity, right? You would essentially lift up the shovel with your teeth, right? You would essentially bite the handle, hopefully straw, I don't know, jaw dexterity, right? And you would lower it down onto the ground like that and then pour the Ketoris into that. So the Gemara says, no. Says you wouldn't do that in front of, you're not going to start using your mouth to go in front of a human king, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course you won't do that. Therefore, hilchach lo efshar. So we'll say, therefore we see already that it's not possible just for the, so again, we've exhausted all our possibilities. To make two trips, Torah says one trip. To go ahead and balance the shovel on top of your arms and take it off with your teeth and Kodesh HaKadoshim, lack of covet. Therefore, we see that there is no other option but to use the ladle. But where does the ladle come from? To which the Gemara says, the chivin the lo efshar avdina ki de ashkechan binisim. So both say, this is very interesting. So the Gemara says like this, we know that when the Nesim, when you had the various tribal offerings of each Nasi, each tribal prince, so the Torah relates that they each brought kaf achos mele'a kitores. They each brought a ladle full of kitores. So the Gemara says, therefore what? We see that there's precedent for using the ladle with the Ketores. And essentially, since we don't know, all the Torah tells us is the Kohen has to bring in a handful of Ketores. But you also know that it can't just be a stam handful. There's got to be some mechanism to get everything in at once. We rely on that, which we've seen already before by the Nesim, and therefore we have him place the Ketores into the ladle, and he brings the ladle into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Not less hamachto b'yomin v'sakaf b'smol. So he brings in the shovel with the coals in his right hand and the ladle with the ketores in his left. So the Gemara says, here gives an expression, yitziva ba'ara v'giyura b'shmishmayo, should the citizen be on, should the resident be on the ground, and the yura, yura is like the stranger or the foreigner, be up in the heavens. We'll say what that means is that you would assume that the citizen, if you're in a particular locale, a citizen has more rights than a foreigner. Not always true, right? Citizen has more rights than a foreigner. So there's an expression that the Gemara uses when something seems a little bit upside down. Zumeruba v'zumo etes. So I'll say, what the Gemara is asking over here is the following. The Ketores is obviously more chashuv, is more important than the coals. And what? And we know that the right usually has a dominance. The right is more chashuv. So the Gemara says, would it make more sense to do what? To carry the Ketores in the right and the coals on the left. Be it, what does the Mishnah say? We carry the coals on the right and the Ketores on the left. To which the Gemara says, not such a kasha. Zumeruba vizu mu'etes. Here's the difference. The difference is the coals are heavier. Mm-hmm. The coals are heavier, the Ketores is lighter. Therefore, you need your stronger arm. The Kohen needs a stronger arm to carry the coals. Va'afilu bizman sheshnei en shoven. And even when they are both equal, now I will say, when would the Ketores be as heavy as the coals? That is one big-handed coin, right? Because remember, again, if the coins Melo Chothmel are very large, then Lamaisa, again, he can have them both equally as heavy. And even if they're each, and even if they are as, even if they're each, even if they are equally heavy, Ukema'aset Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, and with the episode like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, Rabbi was a coin gadol. You could see Hilly after the shir for a good vart as to why someone would name their kid Yishmael. It's a good vart for it. So, like the episode of Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, because Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was the Kohen Gadol who we'll see had very large hands. So, what the Gemara is saying over here is like this: even though the Svara seems to be that the reason we're putting the coals in the right and the Ketores is in the left is because coals are heavier and Ketores is lighter, therefore use your right for the heavier item. Even in a situation where they are equally as heavy, nevertheless, lemaiso, we still keep that same order. So the Gemara says, why? Because zuchama vezutzonenes, because the coals are hot and the ketores is tzonenes, literally means cold. So we'll say what it means just is that you want to be more careful with the coals, and therefore you'll always keep them in the right hand. So now the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Amro alav Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, arba'as kabin b'melo chafnav. So we'll say they said Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis that his handful literally was four kav, which remember is even more than the coals that are used. Va'omer kol anoshim zerdu v'zarad ima excuse me kol anoshim zerdu v'zarad ima ala legad. Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was a man of great stature, and he attributed this great stature to his mother. We'll say, I'll point out to you, Kimchis was his mother's name. See, he was known as Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, the son of his mother, which is, of course, is very intriguing because generally in the Gemara, people are known as by their father's children, unless there are extenuating circumstances, right? We have where paternity was an issue, but let's say again, where maybe one's father was an Am Haaretz, there were a couple of situations of actually great Rabbanim whose mothers were violated, and therefore technically their fathers were not Jewish, they were known by their mother's name. But the reason why he's known as Ben Kimchis, he says over here, is because he attributed his great stature, his physical stature, to his mother. Why? See, he said because all women zardu. Oh, now we'll see. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here. He actually just says Allah legad gavra kulan kol anashim zardu. All women zardu. V'zered ima Allah legad. But my mother's zered was literally up to the roof. Was above and beyond. Now, what does that mean, Zered? Ika da amri ba'arson. Some say that what Zered refers to is, Rashi explains, as a type of grain cereal that often people who were ill would eat in order to strengthen themselves. And very often this was a common food of pregnant women because apparently it built up the strength of the mother and also the strength of the baby. So the Gemara says, Kidiraba bar Yonas, so not Rabbi bar Yonas, on Rabbi Chiyo, arson yofel l'chola. Arson, which is this type of grain cereal, is good for the cholos. So therefore, according to this, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis is saying that my mother ate a lot of zered during her pregnancy, and that's why, again, Baruch Hashem, I was born a very strong child. Others say, v'ikid amri b'shichvas zera. Others say it refers to semen. So the Gemara says, ukid Rabbi Avo rami ksiv v'tazreni chayel l'melchama uksiv. Ha'ma'azreini chayel l'melchama. Also, what the Gemara does of Rabbi Avol does over here is the following. Rabbi Avol notes that there are two psukim that the Gemara is quoting. One is in Shmuel Beis, in which and the pasuk is written v'tazreini. Now it's written v'tazreini. V'tazreini, literally, we would normally translate it as girded, like girded me with strength. But interestingly enough, it's written over here without an aleph. Yet in Tehillim, quotes over from Tehillim Yudches, It's written Hamazreini Limilchama with an Aleph. So the Gemara says, what are these? Obviously, these two words are different. What's the Pshat? Amar Dovith Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu. Dovith said before Akadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Zerisani Vezeraz Tani. Literally, you have winnowed and you have girded my strength. We'll say what this is another way of saying is, just biologically, we know that when the sperm goes to fertilize the egg, it's only the top of the sperm that ultimately fertilizes. The tail is just used for mobility. Tail is just used for it to be able to get to the egg. So what this lashon of batazreni batazreni or batazreni batazreni is ultimately, that's what? That lemaisa, again, Rabbi Shlomo ben Kimchis was saying, obviously metaphor, my egg, you know, the egg that became me was fertilized by the choicest part of the sperm, so to speak. Was it, so again, he was attributing, obviously he doesn't know the biological processes, what happened, what didn't happen, but Lemaisi, he was saying, the best parts of my father and my mother came together to produce me. That's why I have this tall and imposing physical stature. All right, and David HaMelech says, same thing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, you winnowed and you girded me with strength. You made sure that the important parts of the zera were there to fertilize the egg of my mother, and that's why, again, you gave me such incredible strength in this world. Amru Alav, Rabbi Shlomo ben Kimchis. We'll also listen to this story. He said to Rabbi Shlomo ben Kimchis, Pam achas siper dvarim im aravi echad b'shuk. One time, Rabbi Shlomo, Rashi points out, this is on Yom Kippur. One time on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Shmo ben Kimchis left the Beis HaMikdash to go ahead and speak with a certain Arab in the marketplace. Rabbi Shmo, now, obviously, why is the Kohen Gadol leaving the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur? The Ritva comments that this was one of the Arab kings. One of the Arab kings, so obviously he was a person of incredible importance. Therefore, Rabbi Shlomo ben Kimchis had to leave the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur to speak with him. Watch this. Venissa sinura mipiv abigada. Rabbi said, what happens? Some saliva of the Arab got on the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi said, we know that the saliva of all the Avodah Zarah has the status of a Zav. And all the Avodah Zarah has the status of a Zav. And therefore again, their saliva transmits tumah. So now what ends up happening, so you can imagine this now, it's Yom Kippur, it's the middle of the Avoda, and the saliva of the Arab king, who the Kohen Gadol had to go and speak to in the middle of Yom Kippur, gets on his clothing, thereby rendering him unfit to complete the Avoda. So what happens? V'nichnas yishaviv achiv v'shimesh tachtav. So apparently, who is the scan Kohen Gadol? It was Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis' brother. So his brother went in to finish the Avoda. V'shimesh tachtav, and also listen to this. V'ra'a sa'iman shnei kohanim gidolim v'yom echad. And their mother Kimchis had the distinct honor of what? Seeing both of her sons serve in the capacity of Kohen Gadol on one day. V'shuv omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. They say more about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Pam achas yata v'siparim adon echad b'shok. So it seems to be a similar story. Rabbi Shlomo ben Kimchis, again, Yom Kippur, had to go and speak with a certain adon, a certain nobleman, a certain important individual in the shuk in Yom Kippur, again a Gentile. V'nitzat sinora mipiv al bigadav. And again, the saliva gets on his clothing, he's rendered unfit to go ahead and do the avoda for the rest of the day. V'nichnas Yosef achiv v'shimish tachtov. And now apparently he had another brother. This brother Yosef was serving as the scan, and Yosef went and completed the rest of the day's service. And their mother saw two of her sons serving the capacity of Kohen Gadol on one day. Tan Rabbanan, Shiva Banim Haila Kimchis. Kimchis had seven sons. Vikulan Shimshu Bikoni Gidol. It's quite amazing. And all of them served as Kohen Gadol. Now, again, I want to point out to you over here, this is not because, like we saw in the Second Temple era, that Kohen Gadol are dying one after the other, because if that was the case, that's not much nachas for her, right? Obviously, what it's saying over here, she had seven sons, set, and they were righteous, and she saw them each serve in the capacity of Kohen Gadol in some way or another. Remember, two of them already served in the capacity as Sgan. So, but again, she saw them all serve in some capacity of Kohen Gadol. Listen to this. Amru Chachamim, Ma'asis Shezachis Lekach. So he said to Kimchis, you know, what did you do to merit this? What did you do to merit this? Amar lahem miyamai lo ro'u koros beisi kal'ei sa'ari. She said that walls of my home literally never saw the braids of my hair. What she was saying was that I was medakic not just to cover my hair on the outside, but I covered my hair even when inside the home, and halachically it's not mandated. So what she was saying, what she's essentially saying over here is, I maintained a heightened level of tznius. And because I maintained a heightened level of tznius, I was zocha to have sons who would be kohanim gidolim. We'll say, the Ben Yehoyada says, what's the connection there? So remember, the whole essence of the Kohen Gadol is that he has the ability to enter lifnai v'lifnim. He has the ability to enter into the most private, innermost sanctum with the Ribono Shel Olam. So Kimchis understood, Kimchis felt, that because she was so mapped on tznius, right? Therefore, her children had that opportunity. She was so mapped on this modesty of this. We'll call it, you know, spiritual intimacy. That ultimately, her children were zochet to have that tsanua encounter with the Ribono Shel Olam. It's interesting. So the rabbis responded to Armula Harbe Asu Kane v'lo ho'ilu. So the rabbis responded, you know, kimchas, many women do that, and yet again, they're not zocha to have children who are kohanim gedola. Okay, Tana Rabbana, what's a little bit weiter? Tana Rabbana, bikumtso, shelo ya'aseh mida b'chomet. So we'll say, the Torah says, bikumtso, now this is talking about over here, by the Karban Mincha. So the Karban Mincha, we know, we'll get into this in more depth later on, but in the Karban Mincha, it's a meal offering, it's for fine flour, and what happens? The Kohen goes ahead and has to take a chometz. We'll discuss what a chometz is in just a little bit, but suffice it to say for now, he goes ahead, he dips his hand into the flour, he scoops up what he can with three fingers, and that's what's offered onto the Mizbeach. So the Torah says, Bekumtso, that it has to be his chometz. So the Gemara says, what do we learn from here? Shelo ya'aseh mida l'chometz. You can't make a utensil that is a chometz measure. I mean, let's say I want to say, you know, an average chometz is 2 ounces. 2 ounces. So you can't go ahead and make a chometz kli in which you measure out the chometz with the kli. Rather, the kohen must actively go ahead and take the chometz with his hands. Iboy lehu. Maushiyas and mida lachafina. What about making a kli, a utensil, that measures out a handful? So let's say on Yom Kippur, by the Ketores, the Kohen has to take a handful. So can I go ahead and make a chafina kli that holds an average handful? So Gemara says, Hasam hu dichse bekumso. So maybe you can, because on one hand, it's only by the mincha where the Torah says it has to be bekumso, with his handful. Aval hacha delocha ksiv bichafnav. See, we'll say, interestingly enough, what it says by Yom Kippur is melochafnav. A handful. It doesn't say bichofnov. You see, what the Gemara is picking up on is the bi means his, with his, bikumso. So maybe it doesn't say bichofnov over here. Therefore, the ma'aseh, again, you can make a clean. Elam lo chofnov, kidor sim dako, lo. And therefore, O Dilma, Yolif, some say that. Aval hachad lo ksib bichofnov, elam lo chofnov, kidor sim dako, lo. So maybe over here, it doesn't have to be with the coins' hands themselves. Maybe over here, you can actually fashion a clean. Old Dilma, or on the other hand, the other possibility is Yolif Melo Melo Mikumso, or maybe you'll make a Gzer Shav of Melo Melo from Kumso, from Kometz, and say what? Just like by Kometz, you can't use a Kli, you have to use your hand. So too, by Melo Chofnov, you can't use a Kli, you have to use your hands as well. Tashma, so the Gemara tries to resolve this. The Kachaisa Midasa. Remember again, what did the Mishnah say? Actually, Gemara's Kohen Bryce says, well, the Bryce said the coin would take a handful of Ketores, and this was the Midah, and this was the measurement. Does this not mean that if you want to therefore make it, because this is the measurement, if you wanted to make a kli to go ahead and hold such a measurement and scoop out such a measurement without having to use your hands, that lamais it should be good? To which the Gemara says, lo, hachi kamer, this is what it means to say, this is what he would do. He would go ahead and say what? He would retake it into his hands on the inside. We'll see this later on, that Lamaisa was machlokis. But the Gemara is saying over here is that when he would take the ladle into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would then pour the ladle back into his hands, and he would take from his hands and put it onto the fire. Shamis Mina, what do we learn from here? Chofen v'chozin v'chofen. Now, also, the Gemara says just parenthetically, that's a machlokis that we'll see later on in the Mishnah. We'll see machlokis as to, does the kohen have to take from the ladle, put it back into his hands, and put it down on the fire? Or could he just pour from the ladle directly onto the coals? So the Gemara says, Dilma she'im ratza la'asos mida, ose. Maybe, lemaisa, what it means is that if the kohen wanted, so maybe what the drush we can make is if the kohen wanted to make a kli to go ahead and measure out the chafina, he could do so. Inami shelo yechsar velo yosir. Or maybe what it means is that he should davka just take a handful and not any less and not any more. So we'll say, the point is the question remains unresolved. The question the Gemara is trying to figure out, here's what we know. We know by kometz, because it says bikumso with his kometz, that the kohen must use his own three fingers in order to go ahead and take the flour for the mincha, that he cannot make a kometz clean and scoop it out. The shiloh is, what about bich, it says melo chofnov. He'll take a handful, melo chofnov, a handful of ketores. So does that mean that it has to be a handful, or can he go ahead and make a kli that holds the amount of a handful and then measure out like that? To which the Gemara tried to answer this question one way or another. The Gemara left it unresolved, so the Gemara didn't answer it yet. Tan Rabbanan, melo kumso, Melokumso. You have to go ahead and take a melokomets. Yochol mevurats. You might have thought that maybe you should be mevurats. I will say, what does mevurats mean? Look at Rashi. Mevurats mevats vitzin mikol tzad viyotze. Now you might have thought that melokumso means that there should also be flour coming out of the sides. Coming out of the sides, meaning keeping out flour. Remember, again, I will say, the way the coins, we'll see this in the margin just a little bit, but the way the coin's going to do the comet, the kmitza, thank you, is with his three fingers, he dips it in, and he takes the amount contained in here is the amount that goes in the mizbeach. I might have thought that he should even have flour, you know, coming out of the sides, to which the Gemara says, tamulo ar bikumtso. Therefore, the Torah says, in his comets. I bikumtso. I say, if it would have just said bikumso, then maybe what? Maybe he just needs to take a little bit of flour, meaning just trap a little bit of flour in between your fingertips and your palm, and that's enough. To which the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar melokumso. Therefore, the Torah says, a full komets. Kidekamtsi inish, inshi. Like the way people would take a komets. Hokates, I say, how do you do kmitza? You go ahead and you literally you take three fingers and you cover them and you cover your palm with them, the komets, right? And ultimately, and you trap the flour in between your three fingers and your palm. That's the amount of komet. That's the amount of flour that gets offered up on the mizbeach for the mincha offering. Top of mem zayin amud beis ubemachavas ubemarcheshes mochak begodlo milamalo. So remember, there are different types of minchos. The classic mincha that we often think about is one made of fine flour, right? So a kmitza by fine flour is easy, right? Because you just scoop it up, easy. But there are two other types of minchos: a minchas machavos, which means a mincha that is made on a flat pan, almost like a wafer type of mincha, and marcheshes, deep pan mincha. The deep pan mincha. So say the idea with these would be what? Is you would actually make these. You could order two. There's a good special today. Right. I'm sorry, stopped cross mincha. Right, that's next. So the Gemara says the fine. So we'll say in these minachos, what would happen is they would bake it off, and then they would break it into pieces. And the kohen would do the kmitza with the pieces. Now we'll say, obviously, kmitza with pieces is much more difficult. So the Gemara says over here that what would happen, he would go ahead and do the kmitza in the machvas or marcheshes, and then he'd have to use his thumb and his pinky to get rid of any of the stuff that was jutting out, which is obviously much more difficult when you're dealing with actual pieces. So the Gemara says, Vizohi avoda kasha sheva mikdash. And this was one of the most difficult avodos in the Beis HaMikdash. Very interesting. Because also remember, you'll say, what's the big deal? Remember, it is a big deal because you know what can happen is if you have pieces jutting out, if you begin to move them with your finger, you could remove the whole piece from inside your kmitza. Now, you don't want that because then your kmitza becomes deficient. What you want to do is just get rid of the pieces that are protruding, right? But you want to leave the rest within your fingers. So the Gemara says it was a difficult avoda.
So you have to break off.
You have to break off the extension pieces. That is correct. So the Gemara says, Zohi Vesulo, this is the most difficult avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. There are another difficult avodas. Vahaika Malika. What about Malika? Right, there was so Malika again. Remember, is by the bird offerings where the Kohanim would have to grow their thumbnail. Because remember, an interesting idea about the bird offering is the kohen would have to hold the bird in his hand. This is all happening with one hand. Would hold this bird with his hold the bird. I'm lefty, so he's my left hand. But he would hold the bird in his hand, and what would happen? And the bird, the head of the bird would be facing away from him, and the kohen with his thumbnail would have to go through the back of the neck of the bird and flick its head off. That was called malika. So the Gemara says that was very difficult for a variety of reasons. And v'ha'ika chafina. What about chavina? Rabbi said chavina. Remember, is the handful of ketores. So the reason we'll see why this is difficult, by the way, is because according to the opinion that says that they would take the ladle in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kohen would take the ladle in Kodesh HaKadoshim and empty it back into his hands. That's not a pasha d'zach. I'm saying if you think about that, so to be able to keep your hands together but yet still empty all. Remember, he's the only guy in there. To all the contents of the ladle into that without dropping a little bit is a complicated avoda. To which the Gemara says, Ella, you're right. So the Gemara didn't mean to say that this kmitza is the most difficult. Ella, zohi me'avodos kashos shebe mikdash. This is one of the many difficult avodos in the Beis HaMikdosh. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, by Rabbi Yoshua ben Oza, Bein Avinayim Shal Moli Komtso Mahus. We'll say an interesting discussion. Look at Rashi just a moment. Bein Avinayim, Hanichnas, Bein Ha'etzbaos Mahu, Kometein Oshirayin. We'll say, what happens, let's say in the Kemitza case. So what happens in the Kemitza case to any flower that gets trapped between fingers? What happens in that situation? So is that considered part of the mincha? Is that considered part of the komets? Or is that what's called shirayim? I will say shirayim literally means just what it says, leftovers, which again, the leftovers are ultimately consumed by the kohanim themselves. So what about the flower trapped in between the fingers? Is that part of the komets? Or is that shirayim? Amra papa, digavoy lo tiboyloch, divide komets. So I will say, obviously, the flower that gavoy literally means on the inside, which means the flower that would be visible from the inside of the hand that's trapped on the between the fingers, is obvious that it's part of the komets. Dibroi loti boilacha, and furthermore, again, the flower on the outside, which Shabosai means that's flower that's trapped between the fingers, that's not visible on the inside of the hand. Loti boilacha divale shirayimhu. That's shirayim. That's not part of the komets. Kiti boilacha. So when does the issue come up? The beini. The issue comes up, Rabbi said, literally with the flower that's trapped between the fingers, that is not visible from the inside or the outside. Okay, so what is the status of that? Am Rabbi Yochanan, Hader Pasht Rabbi Yoshua ben Oza. After Rabbi Yoshua ben Oza raised the question, so he answered the question. How did he answer it? Bein Abinayim Safek Ninu. Interestingly enough, the flower between the fingers is actually considered to be a Safek. It's doubtful status. Therefore, what do we do? Hechi Abed. So what should we do in such a circumstance? Amar Rabbi Chanina, makdir komets lechudei techila. So you know what we do? First, we offer up the komets on the mizbeach. That's the first. We offer up the komets on the mizbeach. V'hadar bein abinayim. And then afterwards, we offer up separately what? The flower that was trapped in between the fingers. D'i amrit bein habinayim bereisha. Because if you would say that you're going to offer up the bein abinayim, the flower trapped between the fingers to begin with, Dilma Shirayim Ninu, then maybe it's not actual komets, but rather it's Shirayim. Vahavilu Shirayim Shechasru Bein Kamitza Lahaktara. And then Rabosai will turn out to be that they are Shirayim that were lessened in between the process of Kamitza and Haktara. So we'll say, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. Lemaisa, again, what the Gemara is saying is that here's what we're trying to figure out. Essentially, Rabbi Shlomo ben Oza says that here's what we know. The flower in your hand like this, in the kemitza, that's mincha. And you offer that up on the mizbeach. What about the flower that's trapped in between the fingers? So Rabbi Shlomo ben Oza is now suggesting that lemaisa, it's a suffix. So what do we do with it? So first we'll go ahead and we'll offer up the kemitza. We'll offer up the kemitza first. And then afterwards we'll go ahead and we'll offer up the stuff that was between the fingers, which is the suffix stuff. Why? Because the Gemara says if we offer up the flower that was trapped between the fingers, then maybe in reality that flower has the status of shirayim, the leftovers, and then again shirayim that's offered or that's lessened before the kemitza is problematic. V'amar mar shirayim shechasru ben kemitza lahaktara, shirayim that was literally lessened in between the kemitza and the haktara, ein maktirin aleyan es hakometz. You cannot offer up the komets on it. I'll say, if you understand, you cannot offer up that komets after it. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi Osai, shechasru shenis pazru mehen ein maktirin disanya min amincha prat l'shechasra hiyo shechasra komtsa. So Rabbi Osai, what the concern is like this: if you offer up the shirayim first, maybe it didn't get all of it. We didn't get all of it. And if you did not get all of the shirayim, the Gemara is saying over here that this would compromise your ability to offer up the komets. Again, this is a discussion of Menachos. We're not going to get into why all of this is true. We're just going to accept it as truth for now. Therefore, the Gemara says you can't offer up the shirayim first because if the shirayim for some reason was deficient, they would preclude you from offering up the komets. So therefore, what do we want you to do? We want you to offer up the komets first and then the shirayim afterwards. So the Gemara says, Ihachi. Hashtanami ikri kan kol shimi menu liishim. So one second. So why don't we say, if that's the case, then why don't we say about this? Literally, kol shimi menu liishim harihu babal taktiru. Anything Look at Rashi just a moment. Koshim and Alishim. Me achar shenasata laish komishpato. Hari hashirai bebal taktiru. Dichsiv. Lo saktiru mimenu ishala sham. Lo saktiru davar shnitim menu esh. Well, so now here's a very interesting concept with karbanos. Generally, we have this idea that if you have a sacrificial service and part of it is burnt on the Mizbeach, once the part that was burnt on the Mizbeach was burnt, you may not go ahead and offer up any additional part of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara suggesting over here is the following. If you're offering up the Kometz first, you offer up the real Kometz first. Now, what was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Oza's suggestion? How do you deal with the flour stuck between the fingers? What do you do with that? You burn it as well. So the Gemara says, one second. And remember, now we just said you have to burn it after the Kometz, not before the Kometz, because if you offer it before the Kometz and it was for some reason deficient, they would preclude you from offering the Kometz. So offer the Kometz first, and now you want to burn this one second. But once you offer the Kometz, that means the part of the Mincha that's supposed to be burned on the Mizbeach was already offered on the Mizbeach. And the halacha is that once the part of the offering that goes on the Mizbeach is on the Mizbeach, you can't put any other part of the offering on the Mizbeach. To which the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda b'Rei d'Rav Shimon ben Pazi, oh, when you burn Rabosai, when you burn this, the Beni, when you burn this flour that was stuck between the fingers, you're not burning it as Karban Mincha, and you're not burning it as Shirayim. What are you burning it as? Fuel for the fire. Wood, Eitzim. Kid Rabbi Eliezer, the son Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, L'Reach Nichoach Iatamala. You can't offer it up L'Reach Nichoach, you can't offer it up as a Karban. So what's Rabbi Eliezer is commenting in a different context, but the Gemara is adopting his concept, which is in certain circumstances where I can't offer something up as a carbon, but yet I need to get it on the Mizbeach, I can offer it up ultimately as Eitzin for wood. So Hanicha Rabbi Eliezer, therefore it's fine according to Rabbi Eliezer, El Rabbanon Ma'ika LeMeimar, but according to the Rabbanon, what will the Rabbanon say? To which the Gemara says, Amor Amori de Kamtzi Shemeni. You know what, according to Rabbis, you know what they used to do? Very simple. We would only use fat kohanim for kmitza. I will say, what's the advantage of using fat kohanim for the kmitza? That their fingers are larger. So because their fingers are larger, what would happen? There's no real room for anything to get stuck in between the fingers. So the mice, again, it's only by the skinny people that there's room for the fingers. So if we use a little bit of the zaftig kohanim, so what's going to happen this way? Again, nothing gets stuck between the fingers. To which the Gemara says, Hashta the Asis Lahachi. Now that you make this suggestion, Rabbi Eliezer, now I mean the Chatkila de Kamtzi Shemeni. So Rabbi Eliezer would also agree with this. You know what? The Chatkila for the Kamitza, we just, and again, it doesn't have to be obese Kohanim. It could just be, we look for Kohanim again with maybe chubbier fingers. This way, again, Lemaisa, we don't run into the problem of Baini. We don't run into the problem ultimately of the large, the anything getting stuck in between the fingers. Okay. Let's go a little bit weiter. Boy Rab Papa. Rav is the following kasha. Beina beinaim shemalo chofta. Now, what about, Rav said, now we're transitioning from kamitza to chafina. So we're going from mincha to ketores. So what about now? We said on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to take a handful of ketores. What about ketores that's stuck between the fingers? What about that? What's the status of that? So the Gemara says, mau, ma kami boyele. So what's the question? I gomer malo malo mehasam. Hainu hach. So Rav said, again, if you're going to tell me that we make a gzir shava of malo malo from Kitores to Karban Mincha, then we don't have to repeat the same conversation. We just had it. Then the same discussion that we just had by Mincha about what to do with the flour stuck between the fingers will be the same discussion about the Kitores between the fingers. So the Gemara says, no. Rav Papa Hachi Boili. This is Rav Papa's Kasha. Melo Chafnav Vehevi Ba'inan Vahaika. So on one hand, you could say that what's that halacha? The Kohen Gadol is supposed to bring a handful and bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he has Vaha'ika, and this is true over here, because again, even the stuff between his fingers is still called Melochov. Now, O Dilma, Velokov, Vehevi, Ba'inon, Vahalak. So we'll look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Vahalaka, Shemeelav, Nichnas, Labina, Binayim, Vahulon, Niskavim. So we'll listen to this. So what the Gemara is asking is the following. On one hand, you could say that since he has to bring Melochovnov, so even the stuff between his fingers is called Melochovnov, and therefore even that should be recognized Ketores. On the other hand, what's the second possibility? Maybe Velokach Behevi refers to what? That the Kohen Gadol has to bring a handful of Ketores, and he has to have Kavana for the Ketores that he's bringing. But the Ketores that's stuck between his fingers is not what? Is not Kavana the Ketores, because after all, what? His intention wasn't to bring that. That just got stuck. That just got stuck in the process of filling his hands. Vileka. And therefore, again, that's not called real. Therefore, that Kitoris in between his fingers doesn't have the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim Kitoris. To which the Gemara answers, Teku. To which the Gemara answers, you know what? It's a good kasha. And therefore, Tishbi Yitareitz Kushios V'Iba. So halfway for Eliyahu Hanavi to come. One more line, Rabbi. So, Emra Papa. Pshitalei Malikum So Kitimakamtsi Inshi. I was saying, actually, we'll stop over here. Stop over, because, well, just to show you, we're picking up with tomorrow. In Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we will get to all the different forms of kamitza. Because remember, again, just to keep your processes right, kamitza is the three fingers, chafina is the two hands. But what we'll discuss is the process by which you gather these things, either into your hand, the cards into your hands, or the flower between your fingers. We'll see. The Gemara is going to discuss different possibilities, which ones are ksheros, which ones are psulos. All right.
Doesn't it go into a klisharis after he does the kmitza?
I'm sorry.
Does it go into a klisharis after he does the kmitza also? Yeah. He takes it from the klisharis. Then they have to go to the klisharis before he takes it from the
klisharis. Oh, no, you're kidding me, right?
Good question. We're going to have to ask the question of the day. Great.
The new...